This is a Sound Rebel podcast.
Discover more of our shows at soundrebel.co.uk.
So hello and welcome to Triple Captain. Here we are, new season underway, and oh my God, what a start to the Premier League weekend. It was so, so good. My name's Rich Wolfenden, TalkSport commentator and FPL something. Know something about FPL, I suppose, is the best advice I can give. One man who knows a lot more about FPL than me, my co-host, Luke Jurdy. How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm very well, thanks, Rich. Hi, everyone. We're Triple Captain. We're an FPL podcast with the aim of getting you to the top of your mini league. We're at FPL Triple Cap on social media. We've recently changed our handle at FPL Triple Cap. Give us a follow on there. Give me a follow as well. I'm at Luke Jurdy. And yeah, what a start to the season. It was a brilliant, brilliant opening weekend. And in terms of FPL, so many huge scores. I think the average was 69. And we all did fairly well, didn't we? I think, you know, there's a danger with when there's so many big scores flying around and you haven't got a huge overall, an amazing overall rank. You think recording in progress. Sorry, the meeting's being recorded.
Sorry, that's Ben's assistant. That's Ben's assistant. Who's my assistant today? I forgot to press it. Assistant, pull your finger up. Come on.
Here we go. So yeah, so Ben's on holiday this week, so it is just Rich and I. But yeah, there's a danger. I think you said, Rich, didn't you, that you felt a little bit disappointed with your score, but actually. Oh. It's still a big score. We can't complain at that. You got 20. How much? What did you get, mate? What did you get?
I did have a great week. Any other week last season, I would have been over the moon with this score. But you know what it is? It's the build up for the first week, and because you know everybody delivered this game week, didn't they? You know, Salah was there, Fernandes was there, Vardy was there, even though he's not as highly rated this season. You know, Antonio absolutely smashed it as well. Richarlison. There's so many players who delivered. But yeah, Twitter just made me feel like I needed 100 points. But, you know, like you, you know, I follow quite a lot of people who, you know, are experts at FPL. So they're obviously going to be getting like 100 points and above. What I need is the people who are kind of, you know, like me, just see a player who they like and put them in their team. And I'd presumably get 54 or something like that. But yeah, my game week, 89 overall, pretty happy with it. The Liverpool double up at the back, TAA, Tsimikas. Paying off, delighted with that. In the end, Tsimikas's team selected by was 25% in the whole game, which is absolutely bonkers for this player. I don't think most people had even heard of until about a month ago. And he looked really dangerous coming forward on set pieces as well for Liverpool. So I don't think he's going to be leaving my team anytime soon. Salah absolutely smashed it for me. He was the captain, 34 points with that armband on. Goal and two assists and a clean sheet for Mo Salah. He just loves opening day, doesn't he? And then, of course, Bruno Fernandes as well. I mean, if you've had your captain's armband on either one of those players, like, you must be somewhere in the 80s at least. But yeah, hat-trick on opening day for Bruno Fernandes. And oh, the third one, where he just absolutely belted it into the back of the net on the volley. That was beautiful, that. See, he came in with a solid 20. And then, Ings and Wilson both delivering up front. Five blanks, but I'm not too disappointed with the blanks. Tony looked good. Shaw looked good. He only got one because he got a yellow card. Bowen looked good for West Ham as well. Question marks over James Maddison. So he's got a little yellow triangle, and I think he went off with a back injury, which is a great start to the season. So I might have to do a transfer this game week. But yeah, as it stands, 89 points overall, which crazily puts me 1.2 million in the world rankings with an 89 on opening game week, which is just absolutely bonkers. How about you? How did you get on?
Yeah, similar to you, really. Like, I didn't feel any kind of sense of disappointment. I got 94, and I'm really, really pleased with that. Like, I don't really know what people expect. Like, yeah, I don't see how you can be disappointed or underwhelmed by a score when pretty much everybody in the Twitter sphere has the same team anyway. So no matter what score you got, you were gonna be pretty much level. Like, there's been so many teams that I've seen that are so similar to mine, and that's partly because we all just love FPL so much, and we're all so into the stats and so into like the going through all the data and all of that stuff. And I think a player like, I haven't got Bemrama, by the way, I decided to go without him, but a player like Bemrama, when people start talking up a player that's 6 million, he's had a great preseason and everybody starts getting excited, a lot of people are going to put him in, and that's what happened. And he delivered in that first week. So it was literally just the one or two players. I don't have Bemrama. I don't have Greenwood. That was the difference between a 100-point score and a 94-point score. So I'm 817,000 at the moment. And I think a good aim by game, as long as we're inside the top 2 million after game week two, we're absolutely fine, Rich. And I think we've got to aim for, by Christmas, you want to be kind of top 500K, and then you can push on from there. So it's a great start for both of us, I think.
And this is what we said last season, wasn't it? Like, if you're getting consistently 60 and above, you're going to be absolutely flying towards that top 100K by the end of the season. And that is, you know, the goal, well, for us anyway, that's what we're aiming for, isn't it? So, you know, there we go, 89 and 94 is way on the way, and a little bit to carry over for next week as well. If, you know, the first game week, there were so many goals. How many goals was there again? It was like 38 goals or something,
I think,
like that?
Yeah, something
34,
like that.
34, yeah. Which is absolutely bonkers. You know, next week there could be 10 goals. So, you know, we've got some points to carry over there for the average of 60 every week anyway.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, yeah, there's some huge scores. Just enjoy it, because it's not going to happen every week. And it was a brilliant opening weekend. Like we said, having the fans back in the stadiums made such a difference. You know, Old Trafford was rocking. Brentford Stadium was rocking. Goodison was rocking. You know, they were all just, yeah, it was absolutely brilliant. So yeah, I think we can be really happy with our starts. Just quickly, I think Ben went without Bruno, which wasn't a bad move for a lot of people. Some people still got over 100 points without Bruno this week, because as we said, everyone delivered. But Ben got 81. Again, still not a bad start. But I think he was a bit disappointed with a few of his players. And our other member of the team who's just joined, the FPL Cobra, got 105. Great start for him. He's second in my triple captain extra league. So brilliant start for the Cobra. Everyone in our Discord pretty much doing really well, judging by the scores. But anyway, let's get on. We've said we're going to do shorter episodes this season.
Yes.
So let's get on and let's focus solely on the players that impressed us most in game week one. Who is on your radar for game week two and beyond?
So we were just saying before we started recording, weren't we, that, you know, the first few game weeks, the players who we picked for game week one will remain in our teams, just because, you know, it's forward planning and it's a wild card to begin the season. So don't think I'm actually going to bring any of these players in necessarily. But avoiding the obvious, Salah and Fernandez, who are the two highest scorers, I'm looking at midfield options specifically, just because Madison's got an injury and I'm looking at potential replacements, just waiting for some news on his injury and whether it's going to be, you know, serious enough for him to miss a Premier League game. I really, really like the look of Watford. They look properly threatening coming forward. And, you know, over previous seasons, it's just been all about Troy Deeney. And he's probably, what, about 48 or something now? Like, he's not going to be playing regularly for Watford this season. But Saar looked incredible. He looked so much better than the player who arrived at Watford the season they went down. He was flying forward. Three shots, two on target. One was a goal. And he was just the main threat for Watford. I can't remember who it was in our Discord, but they were absolutely raving about Watford coming forward. But it's not just Saar, they've got players around them. They've got Dennis, the new forward. They've got Cucho, Sema, and Deeney as well. Who knows, might see him this season. So I really like the look of Saar. What did you make of Saar?
Yeah, it really impressed me as well. And I thought Watford were great. Seven shots on target, pretty good. I think that made them like up there with the best this weekend. Shots on target are really important, I think, when you're looking at stats after the game. The teams that have that have dominated tend to have had a good amount of shots on target. You know, United had 8 against Leeds, Liverpool had 8 against Norwich, Watford had 7 against Villa. If a team is getting shots on target, it's a good marker for attacking threat. Saar was brilliant. I mean, absolutely terrorised Matt Target. Dean Smith pulled Target at half time, and I think, yeah, he was one of the guys that I wanted to talk about as well. So, and since Since the start of 1920 season, Sarr's got 20 goals and 8 assists for Watford. He's top scorer and assist maker for them. So a bit of a talisman really for them. So I think not a bad option at all. And I'm like you, I've got an option. Gundogan looks like he's going to be injured. I could bring in Sarr and get 1.5 million in the bank, and you know that 1.5 million in the bank could maybe go towards a Lukaku move or a Son move in the future. So Sarr is a great option. Anyone else stand out for you this weekend?
Just another quick one on Sarr. I need to mention this season. I think I mentioned it in one of the preseason podcasts that this season for me is purely basing it on the fixtures that are coming up. Like I can't get carried away and spend. I don't want to take any hits basically just because someone's playing Norwich at home or something like that. I'm looking at the games ahead, and Watford, they've got Brighton, then they've got Tottenham. But then if you know the difficulty rating on the Premier League, basically out of the next five fixtures, three of them are green, which looks really good for Watford. Other players who are on my shortlist to bring in this week, already mentioned Sarr, you've already mentioned Benrahma. Sergi Canos at Brentford. Now, I don't know whether this is just a case of, the hype around the first day weekend and that sort of thing, but Brentford looked absolutely electric against Arsenal. The high press, it's so risky from a side who's just come up from the Championship to press an established Premier League team like Arsenal. I know they've only just brought in a couple of new players and they were lacking Lacazette and Aubameyang, so they didn't have the first choice strikers. But the high press from Brentford, they kind of reminded me a little bit of Sheffield United when they first came up to the Premier League a few seasons ago, and they had that brilliant season that nearly got them into a European slot. So Canos, £5.5 million, he scored that goal, first one of the season. He's on set pieces for Brentford as well. And if they're pressing against teams that, are considered the favourites for the matches that they're playing in, which is, Brentford aren't going to be the favourites going into many games. This high press could really catch out a few teams who try to play out from the back who aren't used to it. So Canos, for me, £5.5 million, probably the standout Brentford midfielder, to be honest. Canos is a tip from me. I won't be bringing him in because, well, I might do. I don't know. I'll see. But if you want to bring in a transfer and a Brentford player specifically, Canos at 5.5, he seems a snip.
Yeah, he was certainly one of the picks of the bunch from that match. I think my only worry is he's a right wing back. He's playing him at right wing back. If he was classified as a defender, I'd be like, yeah, really, really interested in him. He'd probably have to be a bit cheaper as well, to be honest, at 5.5. But for a midfielder, yeah, not a bad one to keep an eye on. Henry on the other side could be one to keep an eye on as well. He's 4.5 million and he's playing in the left wing back role. So if he's as advanced as Canos, although Canos seems to be a bit more skillful and has a bit more of an eye for goal, but keep an eye on him. And Mbeumo was the other one that impressed me. 5.5 million playing up front. And he's classified as a midfielder. He could be a great enabler. Another enabler from that game, Emil Smith Rowe. We spoke about him quite a lot before the season. I thought he was really impressive for Arsenal in an otherwise bad performance from them. Him and Tierney, I thought, were great. And interestingly, Arsenal had the most shots out of any team in the league in the opening weekend. They had 22 shots. But as I spoke about earlier, shots on target, quite important. They only had 4 on target. So if they get a bit more clinical, I don't think, it was a really poor display at the back for them. But the signs are there for Arsenal that people like Smith Rowe, people like Tierney could have a decent season. I'm avoiding them for now, but from game week 4 onwards, their fixtures turn quite nice. But as I say, we thought the opening fixture was quite nice and they lost 2-0. So they might have to impress a little bit more before I bring them in. But yeah, Mbeumo for me from Brentford. And I think we should give Tony time. I mean, he didn't have a shot actually in that first game, but you got to give these players time. There's a reason we've brought them in. Give them a few games.
Yeah. He was the focal point of pretty much everything they did, wasn't he? And he was, he was unlucky not to get an assist for the second goal where it got chucked into the box and it took a touch off a player. And to me, it looked like it came off Tony, but FPL are convinced that it came off of Mari, I think it was, who it came off in the end. All right, then, who are you? Who are you recommending? Who are you adding to your watch list for this game week?
So I think top of my watch list at the moment is Mason Greenwood at United. I was a little bit worried about him being a rotation risk, and that still could happen with Cavani coming back, Martial coming back to fitness. Sancho didn't start. You've got Dan James, who Solskjaer seems to like for some unknown reason. And you've also got Pogba, of course, who played on the left of the front three and had such a superb game. We'll briefly touch on Pogba. I think he's worth keeping an eye on. I wouldn't bring him in just yet, but I mean, if he's going to play like that, he's going to be like close to essential for our FPL teams. I mean, four assists was unreal. But anyway, Greenwood is the one I'm looking at. He played as a striker. I thought he had a great game, brilliant finish for his goal. He had a few shots. He was threatening. He looked like he was creating stuff as well. For 7.5 million in a United team that looks to have started off to an absolute flyer, and they've got great fixtures as well. Like you say, Rich, plan for 4 or 5 fixtures ahead. Don't just put people in for 1 week. And it's an easy switch from Gundogan to Greenwood for me. So he's the one that's on the watch list. I thought Luke Shaw did pretty well, and the signs were there for him. And I think as now Raphael Varane's been announced, United's defence could really tighten up. So if Shaw gets clean sheets and he's got that attacking threat, he's well worth keeping in our teams. So that's for me. From he's kind of top of my watch list.
You're not adding Fred to that watch list of Man United players?
No, not
goal scoring extraordinaire. When I was listening to it on the radio, and the commentator was like, "And it's who is that? It's Fred." He just couldn't believe it that Fred had scored. It was incredible.
I was laughing out loud. It always makes me laugh when Fred scores. It was hilarious. Anyone else I've got my eye on? So I like, let's talk Everton briefly. Obviously, you're an Everton fan. You saw the game against Saints. Yeah. Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison both impressed me. Would you agree?
Yeah, they looked good. I had a nightmare going the Everton match on Saturday because I went out the night before in London and I got up very late. So I arrived at the ground half an hour after it kicked off. It was a nightmare. But thankfully, in that first half an hour, Everton were atrocious and already 1-0 down. So I saw all the goals. But yeah, second half, Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison looked great. Calvert-Lewin, he didn't get involved as much as he did last season. He wasn't coming short. I don't know whether this is Benitez's thing to play him like as an on-the-shoulder attacker more this season rather than a target man that he played as under Ancelotti. But the main thing is that he's still getting in that six-yard box and getting on the end of things. Loved his diving header. That was a proper throwback goal. Richarlison, he's just on a wave at the moment. You know, he's just picked up gold at the Olympic Games in Tokyo, and his finish was like excellent. Just anticipated the nod back in by Townsend and volleyed it home first time. We looked decent, I think. There was one guy from Everton who was on my shortlist beside those two, was Decore. The same with Benrahma. Both their managers have asked them to get more goals this season. And, you know, both of them scored. Decore's strike was unbelievable. Don't know where that was last season. So who knows? He could be on the score sheet more so this season. I think at 5.5, he's still quite pricey, considering he doesn't really have the greatest goal scoring record. But Calvert-Lewin and Richarlison, it's asking really. It's kind of like asking to pick out your favourite children, who you'd pick. it's hard. I'd probably go with Richarlison just about, but absolutely wouldn't have a go at you for picking Calvert-Lewin.
Yeah, he's a little bit cheaper to start with as well, isn't he? Although he has gone up 0.1 already. I think him, Pogba and Fernandez have been the price rises so far. Mm-hmm. Richarlison. And so, but yeah, Calvert-Lewin would be my choice for now, I think. I just think it was a clear strategy, wasn't it, to put a lot of crosses into the box. Benitez has recognised their main threat is Calvert-Lewin's headers. And I think he could have another great season, and particularly with Everton's fixtures. It's such an easy switch, isn't it, from someone like Danny Ings to Calvert-Lewin in game week four when Villa's fixtures turn nasty. Villa, dodgy. Weren't impressed with them at all. But I will be giving Ings another week.
Yeah, same.
Anyone else? I suppose we should briefly touch on the West Ham Newcastle game. Callum Wilson, of course. Really, really impressive. Newcastle, 17 shots, you know, decent XG. Didn't have a good amount of shots on target, but they were getting forward. They were attacking they're going to score goals. Matt Ritchie could be a decent option, just a kind of outside pick there. He's an out of position defender playing in midfield, and I think he got an assist, or he was close to points, but obviously you haven't really got that clean sheet potential with Newcastle. I mean, they were pretty bad at the back, but and of course, you know, West Ham probably looked the best. Them and United looked the best out of all attacking teams this weekend. Bemrama, Antonio, surely on your radar, isn't he? You haven't got him, have you?
Yeah, he was in my team, but just to do some rejigging, I dropped him. I mean, the strikers, two of my three strikers scored, so I wasn't too disappointed. But seeing Antonio, I mean, I know it winds me up, but I know it's fair enough. But the way Antonio gets an assist for missing a penalty is just absolutely bonkers. Oh, yeah, I meant to play it off the goalkeeper into Thomas Suchek. Yeah, that's what I meant. Of course, it's an assist. Why not? So it's mad that goes down as an assist. Not bitter about it at all. But everything for Newcastle is just about Sam Maximan and Wilson, isn't it? It was quite nice to see Sam Maximan actually return, because if you listen to this podcast last season, he is the number one myth. He's a good footballer, but doesn't actually do anything in FPL. Same with Adama Traore. But yeah, Wilson, he's just a main man, isn't he, really, for Newcastle? But when they look toothless, they look incredibly toothless. And there were times in that match where they just looked, well, yeah, toothless. but yeah, West Ham looked good coming forward. We talked about Antonio, Bemrama, Bowen. I think you even considered Fornals, didn't you? And they looked good in an attacking sense. And Suchek as well, still on the end of things. I've got to remember, though, there's still time for transfers, because the transfer window stays open until, I think it's midnight or 11 p.m. on the 31st of August. And I still feel like West Ham want to get one more creative player in to replace Jesse Lingard. Who knows, he might go for Jesse Lingard again. So yeah, maybe just be a little bit patient when it comes to West Ham transfers in.
Yeah, and they have got Leicester next, which of course could well be a goal fest, but it's
and Marty,
a tougher...
He looked so wobbly. I mean, he got a clean sheet and he returned, but my
he's
God,
going to be out
the
team for
now.
Vestergaard, isn't he? I mean, it's clear. I think if you have gone with Amati and Shimikas, I mean, I'd get Amati out quickly, because otherwise you're going to be left with a bit of a problem when Andy Robertson's fit again. So, Rich, let's move it on. Who should everybody be captaining this week? Are the top two choices? We shouldn't look beyond Fernandes and Salah again.
I think it would be silly at this point of the season to look beyond that. I know at the end of last season we looked at maybe, you know, rolling the dice and captaining somebody who wasn't one of the most highly selected players in the game. But I'm probably going to leave the armband on Salah for one more week. I think Burnley at home, it just seems right. I think the first game back at a full Anfield as well in a league, it just ticks the boxes, you know. So yeah, and I think was there only one away team to win at this game week? I think that was West Ham, and Newcastle was the only one to win.
Liverpool,
I think
Liverpool
I'm gonna
well.
Go. Oh yeah, Liverpool as well. Well, yeah, another reason why I'm going to Liverpool is they've got that. I just delete this part. but yeah, I'm going with Salah just because they're playing Burnley at home. And yeah, they should win that.
Yeah, I agree. Not much to add there. Anfield with fans. I think home advantage is, you're absolutely right, is going to be a much, much bigger factor this year. Bruno, of course, playing Southampton away. Very good fixture. And like I say, I might bring in Mason Greenwood for that as well. But I'm going to leave the captain's armband on Salah too. Time for a question.
Oh, go on. Yeah.
So James RS on our Discord asked, is Pogba now a must own after 4 assists in game week 1?
How much is Pogba?
7.6 million. He's already gone up by 0.1.
I think maybe if he was 7 million, I'd say he was a must have. But I think he is just a little bit too pricey. Is he still at rotation risk as well, do you reckon, Pogba?
I don't think so, potentially. But, I mean, he's certainly not at the moment after that performance. And the great thing about Pogba is he can play in that deeper midfield role. And I mean, not a great thing for FPL, but in terms of his minutes, he's most likely always going to start if he's fit. I think he'll definitely stay on the left of that front three for now. And he almost had a free role. If he continues in that role for 7.6 million, he could be gold, but definitely wait and see. He's had that one, you know, absolutely world-class game, but nobody's a must-own in FPL, as we've seen from this first game week. There's people without Bruno that scored over 100 points, so nobody's a must-own, but it's keep your eye on Pogba. And finally, the Golden Cobra asks, how does a Cobra play FPL with no hands?
Well, I don't know how to answer that one.
I'm guessing he uses his tongue to hit the buttons on the phone.
I guess so, yeah. Hissing onto his selections. I suppose that's the way. I mean, I don't know why he's asking us for advice when he got 105 this game week, which is bonkers. But that's because he's in our Discord, he listens to our podcast, he's in our WhatsApp group, he's benefiting. And if you're not in our Discord chat, by the way, honestly, jump in it, because we rate your team, we'll answer your questions, and, you know, everybody who's in that chat seems to be doing pretty well.
They do. So I think that's got us covered, Rich. We've gone through the players that impressed us most. We've gone through who to captain. We've answered a couple of questions. That is your main podcast. I will be back with my extra podcast this week, where I'll be going through the games in a little bit more detail, match of the day review, and just giving you a few more stats and a few more player options. So listen out for that if you'd like. Join our mini league. Our mini league code is on our Twitter at FPL Triple Cap, and the link to our Discord is also on Twitter at FPL Triple Cap. Thanks so much for listening. And best of luck for game week two.
Yeah, see you next week.